You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Nancy Palachek, and this morning I am graced with the presence of a very wonderful young adult named Phil Caffey. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
And he's joining me today on the radio show called Reflecting Christ's Light. This radio show is 30 minutes, and it's once a month, and we talk about the strategic pastoral plan, but the strategic pastoral plan has got this subtitle called Reflecting Christ's Light. And in this 30 minutes, once a month, we talk to people who are out there in the parish. And in this year of Teens for Young Adults, we're talking specifically to those that are between 14 and 24 and finding out how they reflect Christ's light in the world. So, Phil, I'm so glad to have you here because I particularly invited you because I believe you are one of those people that reflect Christ's light in the world. So let's get to know you a little bit. The first place that I had heard your name was actually from a youth minister, Terry, mm-hmm. Terry Landstrom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where is she a youth minister? What parish?
St. Catherine of Alexandria in Oaklawn.
Well, I had just thrown out there to all of the youth ministers, who do you know? What teenagers are doing some things that are really wonderful for the church? And honestly, I don't think I, you know, hit send and a second later, Terry had sent an email back saying, oh, well, you just have to talk to Phil. So you and Terry go back for a little bit.
About a year, yeah.
Okay. And she at St. Catherine, it helps to run the youth program, but you have a special role there. What are you doing there at St. Catherine?
I help lead worship, and I also direct teen choir over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hold Bible studies and faith discussions and help with whatever needs help.
Wow. Okay, so teen choir, so you're singing
right.
And you're playing music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that seems to be where all of your gifts lie, but you take it a step further and you're doing Bible study.
Right.
And okay, so now we have to go back a little bit further and find out where did this music and this talent of singing and playing, where did that all begin?
Well, I think I came out of the womb singing, but...
that from your mom's perspective?
It might be, I don't know. But I began openly singing in the third grade. I started children's choir at St. Linus, which is my home parish.
Oh, okay.
And the music director saw a gift in me, mm-hmm. and she said, you have to use it. And so I began singing in children's choir.
Okay, so you're in third grade, so that's mm-hmm. about, what, 9 or 10 or
about,
something
yeah.
like that?
Okay. My math's not good.
Okay. So you were singing mm-hmm. in the choir in mm-hmm. your parish, and then when did the piano playing or the musician part of all of this happen?
That began about fifth or sixth grade, and mm-hmm. I began just playing for all school masses, and then it turned into... I was used for substituting for piano playing on Sunday masses beginning freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And that was at St. Linus? And mm-hmm. then when did you start over at St. Catherine? So now you're in both parishes?
Right, yes. I started over at St. Catherine's about a year ago, and I was strictly just doing teen masses, and then Mrs. Landstrom got me into doing the Sunday masses. So.
And actually, after we had talked a little bit about you coming to this, I happened to be going to Mass at St. Linus, and honestly, at the time, I did not know that that's where your choir was going to be. And so I had the experience of hearing your young people, and they were all high schoolers, it seemed
yes,
like.
Yes, they are.
Okay. And are you the leader of that choir?
Right. I direct that choir, and it started off as an ecumenical choir mm-hmm. in which all denominations can join. It was open to everybody, and It happened to be a bunch of devoted teens that wanted to sing for Christ and shine their lights.
Okay, so not only do you sing, you play music, but now you're directing choirs.
Right.
And then I find out that you have a CD out there.
Right.
When did that all happen?
It began about last year, and at the end of December, I went to a studio called KBE Studios, which is in Bridgeview, mm-hmm. or Worth. And he's the music director from St. Albert the Great. And we began working on a CD, and it came out in June 26, which was my first concert. So.
Mm, okay. Now, I did hear something about concerts that you gave. So mm-hmm. you had concerts this summer.
Right.
And how many of them, and what was the purpose? Was it just to let people know about the CD?
Well, there was multiple purposes, but we had about three concerts. And the first one was at St. Linus, and it was to raise money for a well in Africa. Mm-hmm. And it was also to make awareness of Christian music throughout the Catholic Church and to start making a change towards that direction and bring more teens back to Christ because they are the future church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know we've been saying that for a long time, mm-hmm. but here's somebody that's actually out there doing it. And you're doing it with your peers because
right.
these you're trying to reach people who
right.
are your age.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to these concerts that you did.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of money did you raise, and do you know where the money went to and how it affected places?
Well, I don't know actually how much money we raised. I know it was an awful lot, but I know we raised money towards Life Outreach Ministries in Texas, and it went towards a water well in Africa.
Mm-hmm. So. And that water well, why did you choose that as a service?
Well, I always found that was a very important essential in life, and also there was a symbolism behind it, because Christ is the living water,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to convey that to a lot of people, that He's all we need, and every time we need something, we go to Him, and it was also to also partially raise money for the people in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Now you just said something. You said Christ is the living water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't often hear phrases like that come mm-hmm. from people who are 18 years old and from you know, a scripture base. So how has scripture informed who you are and what you do? Because you said that you're actually teaching scripture or Bible study, right, at St.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine?
Right. It's huge. It's a huge part of my life. It's an instruction book of how to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to read it once a day. I'm actually going through a devotional right now and trying to read it throughout 1 year, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, once in a while, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know
so. So you're reading scripture every day?
Yeah,
and
I try.
And is it something that is someone else is guiding you? Do you have a spiritual director?
Actually, Mrs. Landstrom is my spiritual director, and anytime I have a question, she's openly help. She's able to answer it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. So you've surrounded yourself with people who
right.
have the same values that you do.
Right.
That's great. And all of that has been pulled together into your music.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what I would love to do? We're about to take a little bit of a break, and if we can go out from our break and then maybe come back in, people will get a chance to hear a little bit of one of the songs that you wrote, and it's a perfect song for this radio show called Reflecting Christ's Light, because the song is called I Want to Shine Bright for Christ. So take a listen and then join us back in just a minute.
I want to show them what it's like to be loved by the God Most High. They'll want to be a Christian. They'll want to know what it's like to be loved by the God Most High. My Jesus died upon the tree, through Him I'm set free. He's forgiven you and me. We can have an abundant life, you see. I want to shine bright for Christ. I want to be a beacon of the light. I want to show them what it's like to be loved by the God Most High. Christian. They'll want to know what it's like to be loved by the God Most High.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Beacon of the light, I want to show them what it's like to be loved by the God Most High.
You were just listening to a little bit of music by Phil Caffey, and that song is called "I Want to Shine Bright for Christ." Today, my guest is Phil Caffey, and we are really graced not only to have Phil Jr., but to have his dad. So welcome, Mr. Caffey.
Thank you.
Phil has been doing wonderful work in music ministry in several parishes. You mentioned St. Linus and St. Catherine, and that you sing, that you play music, that you now lead a choir. You also do Bible study with teens, and you've done this new CD.
Right.
So how did the CD happen?
Well, I wanted to put out something that was going to be an evangelization tool and to bring teens, and not only teens, but everybody else closer to Christ. And I thought I could do that through the songs I wrote and through this compilation of a CD.
So. Wow. It's got to make you really proud, Mr. Caffey.
Yeah, it really is. When he first started talking about making a CD, I said, "Well, do you have any material?" And I did not even know that he had already written like 25 songs.
Wow.
So he had plenty of material to start this project. And he's truly a blessing.
Well, so Phil said that he was singing all his life and that he was involved in singing at third grade and then playing for the church in sixth grade. Are you musical? Is your wife musical?
No. Not at all, no. I play the radio. That's the extent of my music.
Well, okay, so you've got a son with these wonderful gifts. How does that change your household when he's got talents that you and your wife don't have, and it's not anything that you're used to?
It's amazing, you know. I mean, it's amazing to see God work through him, and the things that Phil accomplishes that people a lot older than him have a hard time accomplishing, and some of us never accomplish, you know.
Right. So you weren't playing Christian music in your home.
I wouldn't say that. When he was small, we did listen to it, but not maybe not to the extent that we do now.
Mm-hmm.
He's really brought us into a lot of newer Christian music, more modern, contemporary. music. He's really opened the doors for a lot of different opportunities for my whole family, actually.
Really? So you would say that you were a Catholic household?
Yes.
Where you went to church every Sunday, and was there prayer that happened at home?
Probably not as often as you would think. You know, more maybe to ourselves. I'm sure all of us are praying, but maybe not as a family unit, you know, out loud. But that has happened more and more since Phil has really brought us closer through his work and his music and the things that he does. He's really very busy.
Yeah.
All the time.
And a strong influence. Would you agree with that, Phil Jr.?
I agree, I suppose.
Yeah? That you've had some influence on your folks?
Right, yeah. I believe I brought them closer to Christ. So I think I accomplished a goal.
So is there ever any tension or challenge that, you know, Phil is pushing you to places that maybe you don't want to go?
Maybe not that you don't want to go, but maybe they're a little uncomfortable.
like talking on the radio?
Talking on the radio. But I believe, you know, his vision is headed in the right direction, and he's going to try to bring as many people as he can, whether they're comfortable with it or not, to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and his sole purpose is very much involved in Christ.
Yeah. Well, I've heard you say, and I've heard it or read it in things that you've written, that you're just trying to follow God's will.
Right, right. Yeah. I try to keep an alignment with his will for me, and he knows the plans I don't. And I much rather follow somebody who does than who doesn't. So
in that sentiment that you're trying to follow God's will, is that where this song that you wrote, I Need You, is that where that came from?
Yes. I wrote it in a time in which I felt like I needed I was having a longing for God, and I was so desperate for him. And I wrote it because he knows the way. And so I called out for him in this song, and it's kind of a prayer between God and I. And it was just simply saying, I need you, you know, I need you to hold my hand.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I know we won't be able to hear the whole thing, but I'd really like our listeners to hear a little bit of a song that you wrote called I Need You. And this is Phil Caffey. And then when the song is over, we will listen to you tell us how we can get this music.
Sure.
Thanks, Phil.
Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me with what I'm going through. I need your help, I need your grace. Lord, I need your love and strength to guide me through. Your grace will bless me too. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you to hold my hand through the good times and the bad. Your light directs my steps. All my needs are met when I ask you to hold my hand. Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me with what I'm going through. I need your help, I need your grace. Lord, I need your love and strength to guide me through. Your grace will bless me too. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you to hold my hand through the good times and the bad. Your light directs my steps. All my needs are met when I asked you to hold my hand. I need you to hold my hand through the good times and the bad. Your light directs my steps on my knees, honey, when I asked you to hold my hand. When I asked you to hold my hand. To hold my hand.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
I want to shine bright for Christ. I want to be a beacon of the light. I want to show them what it's like to be loved by the God Most High.
Welcome back. This is Nancy Palachek, and you are listening to Reflecting Christ's Light. You might be thinking that you don't have 950 AM Relevant Radio on because you're hearing some great music. It's not just talk radio this morning. We do have music by Phil Caffey, who is 18 years old, a college student, but he has just put out a CD of Christian music. Some of it is original that
right.
You've written. Phil, if people liked the two songs that they heard, one was I Want to Shine Bright for Christ and the other one was I Need You, they want to find a place to purchase this, where would they go?
I would tell them to go to iTunes.
Okay.
And I would also mention Amazon.com. So.
Okay. And how do you spell your name? So if people wanted to look that the music up, but then you mentioned something about a Facebook page, right?
Sure. It's P-H-I-L, and my last name is like coffee, but with an A, and it's C-A-F-F-E-E.
Okay. And, you know, it's funny because we just mentioned Facebook, and that's a great place for you to get your message across, to be an evangelizer, to sell your music. But there's some event happening in the Archdiocese in February. It's called Leadership Day. Mm-hmm. Any parishioner in the Archdiocese of Chicago can come to this Leadership Day and hear, I think they have 100 different breakout sessions.
Right.
People talking about bringing teens and young adults to Christ, people talking about how parishes can do a better job reaching kids. But you have a session called Faithbook,
right.
Not Facebook, but Faithbook.
Right.
And what do you hope to accomplish in that?
Well, I hope to accomplish connecting teens to Christ, but in a means that expresses technology too. We all can be open for change, and you know, all institutions, churches, and everybody can be open to change, and that's what it's really about. So,
Well, February 18th, Parish Leadership Day. Take a look and you'll get to see Phil in person. And I also hear that you're doing some of the music for the liturgies.
Or? Right. I'm doing the opening prayer service and lunchtime entertainment, I believe. And I think I'm part of the Mass as well. So.
Okay, so in this year for teens and young adults, that's your goal.
Right.
It's what a lot of parishes are doing, is trying to reach out to teens, getting people to be more active in the church. What are teens looking for, Phil?
I think they're really looking for love. And we need to, as a church, be able to embrace teens with love. And they're also looking for a church in which they can be themselves. And I think with the music that is contemporary Christian and other avenues like that, I think it can open the doors more for teens.
And what advice do you have for young people, for teenagers in high school right now, who might be struggling with their faith?
I would say get involved and surround yourself with people who are godly, and they will help form you in the way that you should go. And I would say get involved and read your Bible and pray, and be sure you do that, and it will help you get on the right track.
Well, kind of like you said in the very beginning of the show, that you have been surrounded by people like your youth minister who really encouraged you. Sometimes people in the church can see gifts in young people and really pull them out. That's probably what happened to you.
Right. She really pulled me in, and she said, we need to get contemporary Christian music at our Sunday masses. So we did, and it was... It was well received. So,
and are you using some of the music that you wrote?
Occasionally, when it fits the sermon, I do tie it in. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So parishes have a hard job ahead of them, reaching out to young people. But you're saying using contemporary music, so music that speaks to young people.
Right.
And how did this Bible study happen in your parish, where now all of a sudden you're the Bible study leader?
Well, I co-lead with Mrs. Landstrom and one other individual, but I always had a desire to teach people the Word, and I think that is an important aspect that needs to be mentioned and brought to them, and they need to know more about it. So I thought it would be a good place to start.
And the scripture passages have filtered their way into your music.
Right.
And is that where you got the "I Want to Shine Bright for Christ"?
Yes. I wrote it at a time in which I wanted to convey to people that I want to be a beacon of the light for people, and when they see me, I want them to see Christ and them to come to Him as well. So.
Well, in this year of teens and young adults, and in this plan called Reflect Christ's Light, I truly think that you are a young person who is reflecting Christ's light in your parish and in the world, and now through the radio waves. So you're going to have a lot of people listen?
I hope so. I'm going to mention it to as many people as possible. So.
That's great. Well, Phil, Kathy, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for writing this music. If people are interested, it is a self-titled CD called Phil Caffey. And Phil, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
I want to show them what it's like to be loved by the God Most High. They'll want to be a Christian. They'll want to know what it's like to be loved by the God Most High.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Hello, and welcome to Echoing God's Word, a monthly radio broadcast sponsored by the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. I am Christian Rocha, your host for today's program. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Today we are talking about Christmas, of course, because it's the 21st and Christmas is right around the corner. And we're also looking at how we can use the various customs and traditions that we see all around us during this festive season in catechesis particularly. So this could be a good teaching opportunity for all of us out there. We have three of my colleagues today in the studio to discuss this topic. We have Juan Carlos Farias Gonzalez. He is the Vicariate for Catechetical Ministry Coordinator. Good morning, Juan Carlos.
Good morning.
And we have Pat Reddington, Vicariate 1 Catechetical Ministry Coordinator.
Good morning, Christian.
How are you doing, Pat?
Good, thank you.
And I know you're a returning guest if anybody's following. I know you were just on a couple months ago. And we also have Marta, who was on the same time as Pat. Marta, the coordinator of Polish Catechesis. Good morning, Marta.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being on the program. So to get things started, I figured we can use one of the most visible and ubiquitous of Christmas traditions. I'm sure most of you at home either already have or will set up a Christmas tree. And just to give an example of how we can use this in catechesis, there are many different accounts of the origins of the Christmas tree, but one I found particularly enlightening and useful for catechesis is the use of an evergreen tree in medieval plays. Apparently, the Feast of Adam and Eve was celebrated on December 24th, the day before Christmas, and a dramatization of the fall, the original sin, the fall, was put on as a play as part of the celebration. And one of the props that they used to use was an evergreen tree, which they used to hang red apples on. It was supposed to symbolize the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And apparently these red apples is what might have given us, anyway, I don't know if the story is quite true, but might have given us these rounded ornaments that we use on our trees, which oftentimes are red, of course. In any case, whether the story is true or not, I definitely think that you can use this in catechesis. I'm sure all of the students have Christmas trees, or at least have seen one. And it definitely can use this as an opportunity to catechize in the fall, original sin, and in particular the reason for all the joy of Christmas, which is that God became man to free us from sin. Pat, why don't I think you said you had something to say more about the Christmas tree?
Yes, thank you, Christian. I guess one idea that and a realization that we all have is that as Americans, we have widely diverse Christmas traditions from around the world. I was very surprised a few years ago to realize that the Sunday Eucharist in the Archdiocese of Chicago is celebrated in three major languages, English, Spanish, and Polish, but it's also celebrated in 19 other languages. So, people, immigrants who have come to this country have brought their various Christmas traditions with them, and Christmas is one of the most celebrated and enjoyed holidays in our nation. One of the legends or traditions about Christmas tree that I had always heard that it was originated by Martin Luther, the leader of the Protestant Reformation, that first brought a tree in and placed candles on it. So a lot of our traditions and customs are kind of lost in time. There are various legends about them. As far as the catechesis of the Christmas tree, we've been blessed with Pope Benedict, who just 2 weeks ago blessed a modern electronic Christmas tree in an Italian town. And from the description of it, it's about 200 feet high, 900 lights on it. And Benedict told us that the tree gives us an opportunity reminds us, as a tree lifts its branches to the sky, that we as human beings and followers of Jesus Christ should lift our hearts and our minds to God and not place so much emphasis on material things, as some of us are apt to do during this Christmas season.
That's wonderful. And Marta, why don't you talk about what the Christmas tree is like in Polish culture? I'm not sure if it is such a big deal for the Polish culture.
Yes, it's such a big deal for the Polish culture. And Christmas tree, the name in Polish is choinka. And actually, the Christmas in Poland has a different time frame than here in the U.S. because that's the 4 weeks of the Advent is the time for actually preparation. It's a quiet time. It's the time where people actually handmake all the Christmas decoration for the Christmas tree. And the tree is not brought into the home until 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And usually, traditionally, we decorate the Christmas tree at the Christmas Eve, before when we sit down for the Christmas supper. Then it's kind of a different tradition than here.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And Juan Carlos, what about in the Hispanic culture?
In the Spanish culture, the tree is not as important as in the United States. What we see more important is the nativity scene. You can see in many countries that they basically have to go and chop for the nativity instead of the tree. And whatever is around the Christmas tree is not, for us, it's around the nativity. I think it's because of the family-oriented culture, and the nativity is more kind of similar to our, I would say, journey or our similarities. And basically also the day when we celebrate Christmas, you know, is a family event, but we don't exchange gifts that day. We exchange gifts and Epiphany, the Three Kings, and that makes it a little bit more unique, the feast of the Christmas time.
Wonderful. And I know gift giving is definitely, at least in American culture, associated with Santa Claus, the figure of Santa Claus. Pat, you want to talk a little bit about Santa Claus?
Sure, I can say a few words about Santa Claus. I know my two grandchildren would very much appreciate if I talked a bit about St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. Most of us realize that the precursor to our modern-day personage of Santa Claus is actually based on St. Nicholas, a 4th century saint who lived in modern-day southern Turkey. And there's a legend about St. Nicholas that he assisted the three poor daughters of a peasant in their dowry by throwing small bags of gold through their windows in order that they could get married, and the gold ended up in the daughter's slippers. So from that came the tradition that celebrated throughout Europe and by many Catholics and Christians in this country of St. Nicholas Day, which is was celebrated a few weeks ago on December 6th. So children often wake up, and adults maybe, on December 6th and find gifts or toys in their slippers. In this country in the 18th and 19th century, the personage of St. Nicholas evolved, or some people would say devolved, into the person of Santa Claus, who brings gifts. There's a lot of emphasis today and discussion by individuals and communities about rediscovering the original saint in the United States to help restore a spiritual dimension to this festive time of Christmas. There's a group called the St. Nicholas Center, which attempts to discover the truth about Santa Claus. And they point out very strongly that St. Nicholas was a lover of poor people and a patron saint of children, and he should be a model of how Christians are meant to live today. Nicholas, like a lot of bishops, priests, and lay people today, put Jesus Christ at the center of his life, his ministry, and his entire life. So a lot of Christians in our catechetical programs, our schools, our parishes, are putting an emphasis on, at this holiday time, of serving the needs and concerns of the alienated, the poor, the disenfranchised. And some places, for example, take up food collections, clothing collections, collecting, say, gloves, scarves for young people.
That's wonderful, and we're going to be taking a break very soon, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion, and definitely about Santa Claus and St. Nick and Polish and Hispanic cultures, so stay tuned.